This is the Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
The biggest icon in podcasting.
Welcome in everybody to this week's edition of Doc and Jock. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Boy, am I excited this week to fire it up, dial up my guy Adam, the Jock Strozinski, going to recap an unbelievable 3 days at the NFL draft, not only for the Lions, but for the city of Detroit. Much needed positive publicity. The national media came, and it's crazy to me now that people are still going, you know, Detroit's not the shithole that we all thought it was. Yeah, no shit. We've been telling you for 5 years they've upgraded the downtown area, at least. Every major metropolitan city has its shithole areas, but in the end, downtown Detroit has been transformed. You can have fun there. I'll share a story regarding what everybody was joking about, what people were doing downtown. I went there for an hour, had a good time, but in the end, the Detroit Lions got better with their 6 draft picks, but we're going to break it all down. We are not going to universally praise every move that Brad Holmes made because there were some decisions made that we can debate. I don't think Adam and I are going to have a knockout, drag-out fight about any of the picks. I'm glad that Brad Holmes is getting a lot of A's. Many people think the Lions are a top 5 NFL team in the power rankings that have come out this week. So it was a good week all in all. To me, I'm glad that the Lions made 6 picks as opposed to 7. That just makes one less cycle of work. But because this time it was crazy, I literally, on that Thursday, going to the draft, writing up the player in Terrion Arnold, and then the next day, I had basically, and the media did too, we used up all our energy on 2 picks, and then we still had a whole other day on Saturday. Everybody was on fumes, man. It was lit up. Everybody was drinking coffee. We literally wrote 20 stories on 2 players, and then we still had a whole other day, but thankfully, Brad Holmes kind of, when the signal comes and he does his end-of-day presser, we got a chance. He moved around so much that it gave the media a chance to get out of there early on Saturday. But my goodness, cuz, it was great. I thought that the visual, at least to start, of having Terrion Arnold in the house, the Lions trade up for him, he comes out and gets the warmest reception possible with 275,000 people, mostly Lions fans, cheering. I have a lot of those videos saved on our Twitter page at Detroit Podcast. It was just a scene for the ages, a sea of blue, a true sea of blue downtown. And at least for the Lions, to have a player that was in the building that really truly loved the fact that he was in Detroit and just has the youthful energy and the love and excitement that he showed to be drafted by Detroit, I thought the first pick, Terrion Arnold, kind of shocking. But in the end, I think that it fits the true narrative of best player available, that the Lions decided, hey, let's move up to 24. Didn't have to trade a whole bunch to move up 5 spots to get a cornerback that Nick Saban gave his stamp of approval on, and I think is going to make the Lions defense better.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, I think this was the most exhaustive draft coverage that you and I combined have ever done. I know you had everything you had going on with SI, All Lions. I had a ton of stuff going on with the news stations. I basically lived in a helicopter for 3 days. Oof. And had to deal with different stuff with each station and just troubleshooting problems that they were having. And it was exhausting. And then having to follow different media rights rules and making sure that things were buttoned up. This was a tough week to get through for us that week. I know when we met on Saturday and we had to record our wrestling show, we both were just on fumes, just absolutely fried. But when you look at what Detroit did as a city, to me, it's weird that people are talking about Detroit as a destination that they have to go to. That to me is weird. I was talking with Alyssa about this last night as we were walking to we had a concert that we attended. And I was like, it's funny to me that people are saying this. Like, I don't necessarily get it. Like, I don't think Detroit is a shithole, but I don't think it's necessarily one of those like top 5 or top 10 spots that people are claiming it to be. I think it's really cool that the city showed out. I think it's really cool that all these people came in. And it's not being viewed as a hazmat situation anymore. I think that is fantastic. But at the same time, I do think it's funny that kind of people put it up there with, you know, going to the West Coast to go lay on a beach. And it's considered one of these hotspot destinations because of the draft. And I think it's great for the city. I think the city has a lot to offer. But it's still just weird to me. It's a new shoe to wear. So I'm getting used to it. It's not quite comfortable yet. But all that being said, the first draft pick that Brad Holmes had was absolutely fantastic. And I think what you could take away from this draft, I think taking a look at this draft, it tells you a couple of things. I think Brad Holmes realized that the secondary was in shambles, that the secondary was not good. Them bringing in Cam Sutton the year prior, it just didn't work out. And then you had the Cam Sutton issue. So it was a way to kind of get out of that situation. And I think the secondary was a pressing need for this team. And I think they addressed that heavily. They got two guys who are first round talents. And Tyrion Arnold was a guy that you and I both wanted to, if they had the ability to pick guys in that first round. Tyrion Arnold was a guy that you and I both highlighted. He was a guy that you and I both were going to be excited if they got. They were able to get him. And then Rakestraw, they end up coming back to him in the second round. And look, you ended up loading up on your number one and your number two cornerbacks a long time. You've got guys who can play it right now, and you got guys who are going to be able to play it in the future. And doing that, I think this draft tells you that this team is in win now mode. What this team did moving up, they moved around a lot. They moved around a ton in this draft, and they gave up a lot of future capital to go get guys. That tells you that this team is in a win now mode. But I think also this team has an eye on the future. And if you look at the strength of this team, the strength of this team is built on that offensive line. And then Brad Holmes came in and he's working on building up that defensive line. Well, that offensive line is starting to age. This whole thing started with the drafting of Taylor Decker and then Frank Ragnow. Those were your two cornerstone pieces. Well, Frank Ragnow's got basically a nub for a foot at this point, and Taylor Decker might be on his last contract. So doing what they did in the back half of the draft told me that they have an eye on what's going to be happening later on down the road. They have to kind of reload at certain spots, and that was what they did. They went and grabbed guys who they thought were going to be able to take over these positions, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but the year after that, these guys should be able to step in and provide some assistance and some help. But what they did with those early rounds, it was really loading up for right now, going out, trying to win that Super Bowl in the next year and really going to war. And I applaud Brad Holmes. I thought he went in, he handled his business. This was also one of those things that you and I had talked about the week prior. I said, I think they're going to move up. When Brad Holmes finds a guy that he likes, he's not letting anybody else get in front of him. He's not letting anybody else try to take that guy. And I think he probably had the two top cornerbacks on his list, and he might have had a defensive end on his list, and those guys went, and then look, it got down to one of those final guys, and he was like, no, we're going to move up, we're going to trade, we're going to go get this guy. And like I said, he gave up some draft capital to get it, gave up a third round this year, gave up a third round next year to move up and get guys that he feels are going to help better this team in the future and right now. So it is a good place to be if you're a Lions fan. I think it's still a little bit uncomfortable to be in this position if you're a Lions fan. What did you take away from the Lions draft haul as a whole?
Yeah, I looked at it and I said, oh, what a coincidence that Brad Holmes found the best players on the board at offensive line and cornerback. Two areas of need when he said, we don't draft position. It just so happened that the board fell, that there were players that were available. What a coincidence. Okay, Brad, it's kind of obvious you recognize that. We all saw you traded up for Giovanni Manu. You traded up for Tyrion Arnold. So the only pick that you made at the spot you were allotted was 61, and that was Ennis Rakestraw. So they do draft position. Look, and general managers, they tell tales all the time. He can't tell you his secrets. But it's good that the players that they targeted were decent players. But I will ask you this. Would you have been okay with a different strategy had they have maybe gone up and got Darius Robinson and maybe looked at a different defensive back in the second round, maybe a Cooper DeJean, because you look at it, the Eagles, they got two as well. They got Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and they did a similar strategy. But I think that in the end, when you have Betts that you added in free agency, you have James Houston, Marcus Davenport, I think they're comfortable at edge at this point in time, and maybe we'll feel like they can find somebody that can fit that need a little bit later, maybe next year or so. But to me, I'm not disappointed in any way. You can debate it. You could say, well, maybe Darius Robinson, a Jared Verse you could have traded up for, but all these players had specific weaknesses. You needed defensive backs, and you got two of them. I just find it funny that Brad Holmes would critique people that say, well, you could have got different areas of need based on talent. Yeah, I do think that Tyrion Arnold clearly would be on the top of your board. He's one of the best defensive backs, but I don't think the gap, the way I've described it, the gap between him and the best defensive lineman is not that big, where if they would have taken somebody else, then you would have been like, oh my God, it's not that different. But the Lions are very specific and calculated in their moves, and I'm just glad that the team, the roster is in a good spot that you could even take gambles on a Giovanni Manu. You did it last year with Broderick Martin, and we'll talk about it a little later, the kind of the need to draft one developmental player versus maybe just getting a guy that's ready to go now. I think that's intriguing, and I'm curious if either one will work. But to me, my biggest takeaway is you upgraded positions you needed. You needed a couple linemen for depth. You needed cornerbacks. The guys you got, look, it's tough because juxtapose that with the Bears getting Rome Odunze, the level of talent that's on offense on the Bears, Vikings, and Packers. It's going to be a nice test to see. I love those matchups. Jefferson versus the Lions cornerback. The Bears offense has some nice talent. When you look at Allen, Swift, and Odunze, and DJ Moore, that's a nice offense for Caleb Williams to kind of roll into. So I'm impressed with what happened, but also at the same time, I don't find it where I'm universally sitting here going, yes, this draft put the Lions in the Super Bowl, winning it all. I think they got to get lucky, and they got to have some contributions from these young draft picks heading into December and January. But I think it's a solid B+, A- draft, very professional, and I think that clearly we have a general manager that is on par with the best in the league, and he can make moves. He has relationships, and I think it's funny that the first move they make is trading with Dallas and getting Rome Odunze, getting Tyrion Arnold, when many people were wondering if, you know, did the Lions again steal an opportunity from the Packers to get their guy. So it's very fun. I thought that the draft in and of itself has been universally praised and has been a draft that many people can look at and say this Lions team is better in the secondary where they needed to be. And overall, my impression is good for Brad Holmes, good for the Lions to get pieces at different spots. I'm curious, was Arnold your favorite pick, or was there somebody else that they got in later rounds that just really, really impressed you and showed what Brad Holmes is capable of?
Yeah, Arnold was my favorite pick. That was the one where when he got drafted, I was in bed and I was watching it, and I was like, okay, so this could be Tyrion Arnold. And then they took it, and I basically jumped out of bed. I was that pumped up for Tyrion Arnold. I think the interesting thing with this draft is we prioritize a guy that's a defensive end, and I don't think this Lions organization necessarily has that same priority. You know, I think this organization feels like they're okay at D end. I feel like this organization feels like they're okay at defensive tackle. I feel like this organization feels like their defensive line is stout enough. Now, if somebody comes available and they need to add somebody, they will. And they'll look at guys who get cut as training camp gets underway. And they'll look at guys who are made available as free agents. But I think this team feels really comfortable with what they've got on the outside of that defensive line. And I think us as people who analyze this, us as fans, I think we have a different perspective. And I think this draft tells you what Brad Holmes feels about his defensive line. And I think with the draft pick of Tyrion Arnold, who was my favorite draft pick, he was my favorite pick out of everybody. I think it tells you that this was more of a priority the secondary, shoring up the secondary, not just for right now, but for the future, was the priority. And doubling down on the cornerback selections tells you how important it was to him. Look, I think it was good that they did that because it puts them in a better position going forward. I think that you might have possibly have missed out on adding a little bit of depth to another position somewhere else, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But look, the selection of Tyrion Arnold, I think, was incredible, because this is a guy who's going to come in, he's going to start right away for you. This is a guy who is a good dude. This is a guy who seems like he fits the culture, right? That's important to this team. It's important to this organization. You got to be a cultural fit. You can't just be any geek off the street. You can't be about yourself. You got to be about team. And he seems like he's that guy. The Rakestraw pick, I really like that. I think he will be a guy who, I think he's got to add a little bit of weight. He's got to get a little bit more stout. But I think he's going to be a seek and destroy kind of guy. You're going to put him out there and he's just going to wreck shop for you. So I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought doubling down on both your cornerbacks was a smart play. I think it might have hurt you in some other spots. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. But was Arnold your favorite pick? Was he the guy that you were like, yes, this is the right pick, this is the guy, let's go? Or was there somebody else that Brett Holmes kind of had an eye on? You're like, that's a smart pick. That is an intelligent selection right there. I like how that's going to benefit this team. What was your favorite overall pick?
Yeah, one of my favorite picks is taking a gamble. I think on Giovanni Manu was really solid. When you learn more about him, when he's 6'7", 350, and had the intangibles that Brad Holmes talked about, when you get a chance to see him next week and you learn about him, and I talked to his coach at the University of British Columbia, really interesting, because check it out, because he raved and he talked about his player, as he should. But then when the interview ended, off the record, he was like, oh, I forgot to say, I'm the cousin of Jim Neal. And you can hear his Canadian accent. Everybody that's listened to the podcast has said, man, it's really cool to hear a guy that sounds like a hockey coach that coaches football. He's got that strong Canadian accent, and he said offense. And it was great. It was really cool that the University of British Columbia opened the doors to all Lions. Coach Neal, Blake Neal, I wanted to go play for him. I was like, yes, this guy is cool. He was very excited he just felt like a guy that was excited to be talked to, and I got a chance to know him and learn about Giovanni. Now, it's not my favorite pick because it's a gamble.
Mm-hmm. And we always, sticking with him, when do you think he makes an impact on this roster?
He's going to compete, and he's going to be a guy that's going to develop. I don't think he sees the field at all. Maybe practice squad, maybe makes the roster, but I think he's in the Broderick Martin boat where if he's on the field, something went terribly wrong with some of the other guys.
Do you feel like that's a lot to give up, though? Like, fourth round picks are guys that you're expecting to make contributions. You know, maybe not starting and maybe not being the second guy on the depth chart, but a guy who's you're expecting to kind of work in and give you some snaps and give you some plays. Does that feel like that was a lot to give up? Because they gave up a third round pick to get up to where they needed to go in that fourth round.
Yeah, look, I look at it like if you're a good scouting department, you can get good players in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. And Brad Holmes is a guy that can trade a seventh and a third next in 26 to get back up in 25. I'm not concerned about that one coveted spot. I think that the Lions evaluation knows, hey, they know what they think of the class in 25, and they know already what they're thinking. So I don't have any concern at all. The question mark is valid. Do you take a gamble on a guy that you're going to develop? But if you think you got the future, right tackle of the future, and you can gamble on it, and you can still go out and get other players, I think it's fine. You're gambling. I think they have a strategy, a sound strategy of, we have certain areas we need to target now in free agency. We have players at high-end value that we take in early rounds in the draft, but one or two players we think we can develop, and they like the challenge of having a guy that has super high upside that's not ready just yet. And that's something good organizations do, and I think that it's something that Brad Holmes, it's new. It's a new concept in Detroit to take a guy and stash away. Most NFL teams don't do it. I wouldn't do it, per se, with the Super Bowl-winning team. I want guys that can go now, four guys that can play right now, and I'm more of a go all in, tear it all down for 2 years, go back all in, you know what I mean? But if you can sustain some success, then you know what? This is ballsy, and Brad Holmes says, hey, and look, because when you hear the coach, 30 scouts were there, and they all like had their jaw on the floor. And the coach said that the Jets were also very interested in Giovanni. And a lot of NFL teams were just like, holy shit, 6'7", and 350 runs a sub-5 40 and is a freakish athlete. A lot of teams liked it, and I think it's the right spot that he went. I think he was probably going to go. He was on our radar. If you checked out All Lions, we had him maybe in the 5th round as a target for day 3. Christian Boer did a good job of really hitting a lot of the players in the draft that the Lions could target. But I looked at it like, okay, you gamble, but my favorite player was Mekhi Wingo. I think he's got that sneaky bulldog mentality that at LSU, when you start going into the film, the guy was all over the football, all over trying to get after these quarterbacks. And I'm not comparing him to Aaron Donald, but you see the philosophy. Little spitfire guy that can bring pressure from the interior. And the way I looked at it like a puzzle piece is that in the future, if you do move on from Aleem McNeil, you hope you don't. You hope that mm-hmm. the numbers work out, but sometimes they don't. You can pair Wingo with Broderick Martin, and then you got the sheer size and complement where one guy can kick another guy to Wingo's side and boom, or Wingo can kick a guy to Broderick's side to stop the run. It's a nice little complement for the future if it works out. I think Wingo, sneaky, aggressive, really solid pass rusher. I think as a depth player, maybe on certain situations, you bring him in, and I think that he has a really high upside. The other guy, obviously my favorite pick is Wingo. Second is Vaki. I think that everybody talked about him, so you have to go and look at him. I think he can be a special returner in the Lions system. And also, if you need that guy to give a spell at running back, I think he's a guy that I think can do some things. You saw at Utah, his average reception that he got was well over 6 yards, and he made plays. He was impactful. So I think he brings a lot to the table. So those are my two favorite picks. Cornerback doesn't excite me. It just never will, because I'm more of a, hey, I want to see Jefferson one-handed grab. I just always feel like receivers do better. You need them. They're good working parts, but they're the nuts and bolts. You know what I mean? Cornerbacks mm-hmm. do not excite me. Pass rushers, offensive players, tight ends, impact linebackers, those get me going. You know, cornerbacks, I just go draft 3 of them and you hope one will be successful. You got 2, but the Rakestraw pick I think is a little more of a gamble because of his size and his history of injury. Maybe you kick him inside and have competition for the slot so that Brian Branch can play safety. But I think that he was a guy that people talked about. But when you look at it and learning about him from other beat writers, that there was a little bit more risk with Rakestraw moving forward. So that's how I felt about the draft. I was happy. I was happy in the way it shook out and the manner in which he did it. Didn't sacrifice too much capital. And I think that the Lions are very happy. And it's been universally received that this draft was successful. Got the team better defensively. All across the board, defensive line and the secondary, I think, are improved enough to help you compete for an opportunity now that you're going to have to play a first-place schedule.
You know what I liked about the Wingo pick?
What'd you like?
The thing I like about Wingo is he does have some versatility. So you talked about him playing inside alongside Aleem McNeil. He's also a guy who you can kick out. Yep. And similar to Aaron Donald, right? I'm not comparing him to Aaron Donald. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald. But similar to what Aaron Donald does, Aaron Donald can line up inside. Aaron Donald can line up outside. And he has the ability to collapse the pocket and get to the quarterback. That is something that I find to be very important. You know, you like the flexibility with offensive linemen. I feel like you should have the same philosophy with your defensive linemen. If you have the ability to play inside and then play outside, like Ndamukong Suh used to do, it can cause havoc for a lot of teams because they're not prepared for that. They don't have the tools to be able to address that. And if you have the ability to get to the quarterback, it's even better. So I think the Wingo, your Wingo selection for it being your favorite pick, I think is incredibly smart. And I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's really, really good. Now, look, with all of the picks that the Lions had and everything that they did do, and we talked about them moving up and we talked about them moving around a lot in this draft. Do you feel like they missed out on anybody, any players or any positions that could have made this team substantially better next season or just kind of help fill out roster spots on this team?
No, I don't feel like they missed out on anybody that's going to maybe haunt them. You know, many people, I thought that, you know, I'm curious to see if, you know, now Quinyon Mitchell is going to take that slight. You never know because Quinyon Mitchell fell. So I'm curious to see, does he take that slight and feel like he was the number one guy? does a Cooper DeJean end up hurting the Detroit Lions? Because the Eagles went totally different. They went two different guys. So I'm curious to see how it all ends up shaking out competitively. You know, I was a Jared Verse guy, Keon Coleman. I think him going to the Bills. Look at it. Look, just his first press conference was hilarious, talking about going to Macy's to get an $80 jacket. And he's got that Louisiana-style flair that would be hilarious. He'd be like, "You went to Michigan State, Doc? You were a hater." I'd be like, he might have pulled up one of my tweets and been like, "Weren't you the guy calling for Tom Izzo to get fired? Psh, please." His first conference went viral, and his interview with RG3 was classic, too. So he had personality. You love that. I didn't know about his massive personality. I was just great that he was on a team that beat Michigan. So I like that for the media, you know, the personalities. Darius Robinson, I met in person. I thought was well composed, was super nice. And I loved having to, during the draft process, having some access to go to some events. I went to get the credential early so that I could avoid the big mess on Thursday. And just having to be part of and going to that event, got a chance to talk to Jaden Daniels, talk to Drake May, talk to Terrion Arnold and Darius Robinson. Darius Robinson came away well put together. I thought he conducted himself well, and I would have liked, I thought him in Detroit might have been a nice fit. He ends up going to a good situation, I think, with Arizona. So Jared Verse, I liked him. A lot of, you know, players maybe in the later rounds, you could have maybe addressed in a different manner instead of going two offensive linemen. The Mahogany pick, you know, people are wondering why he fell. There was a reason. He was ranked number 99 but fell into the 200s, whether it be health-related or off-the-field type stuff. We'll see if that pick ends up working out. Was there anybody I'd want on this team? I mean, you know, you could look at, you know, some of the other cornerbacks that you could have got maybe later on. You could have maybe got a Luke McCaffrey, a wide receiver. Brendan Rice was on a lot of people's, you know, radar. But to me, I think the draft, when you look at it in terms of the way it fit together, it feels like a nice puzzle piece that really helps the Detroit Lions in a lot of different ways. Was there a player that you wish, like, man, would have been there for the Lions? I know we at All Lions kind of really liked Latu, and that there was a run there. I don't know if the Lions wanted to move up to 15, but it was funny to see the Colts be so excited to draft their guy in the middle of the first round. But to see 14 offensive players go first, that was crazy. It was, you know, Dan Campbell said it's an offensive draft, but nobody saw 14 straight offensive players. So to me, that lends to, hey, maybe you join the mix. Get in there. Get in there in top 15. Get one of those top wideouts and see what happens. But, you know, I think that Brad Holmes had a strategy, which was different than he publicly expressed. They were never going to trade down, I don't think. And they went and got their cornerback that they wanted. I think they were looking at corner or defensive end. And they end up getting somebody that they respect. Is there anybody that you wish, man, this is going to look good on the Lions, or that they passed on that might haunt the Lions?
So it was two positions, and there was a specific player. Again, I've got a feeling that this team needs a defensive end. So defensive end is there on my list. Any type of an edge rusher, somebody who can get to the quarterback, I would have liked them to add a guy. Even if it was a developmental guy, I would like you have to added a guy. And you could have, honestly, you probably could have did that with that second round pick, and that would have made me incredibly happy. But also wide receiver. I feel like the edge and the wide receiver positions were two positions that this team should have looked to address and possibly added a guy. And I don't feel like it was anywhere on their radar. It was anywhere on their list. I feel like a guy like Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, I feel like he could have worked out perfectly. You could have added him late in the draft, and he could have been a guy who, like, you know, he knows routes. You know, he's going to have decent hands. He just has to come in and do the work. You know, he was a good player at USC. I feel like he could have made this team, and he could have made a difference on this team and would have made that wide receiving core better. But for me, it was really adding an edge, which, like I said, they're telling us that they feel very, very comfortable with what they have as far as their edge guys and their defensive line. And it was a wide receiver. I know Tyler Boyd's still out there, and I hope somehow, some way, they're able to bring him in. They're able to work something out. I know that there's conversations going on with Jared Goff's contract, and they're trying to get that ironed out. I'm hoping there's some money for a guy like a Tyler Boyd where you can bring him in, and he could add to this team and make a difference for this team. But wide receiver was a position that I felt like they needed to add at least one more piece to it, and we could really get up and go. you know, when you look at this wide receiving core, it's really, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's Jameson Williams and Khalif Raymond, and then you've got Donovan Peoples-Jones. And I feel like after Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's a step back. And then after J-Mo, there's a bigger step back. I kind of feel like you need another wide receiver to kind of bridge some of that gap. Just get a veteran in here who's still got something left in the tank. I know Sam Laporta is probably your second wide receiver. I get it. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably Sam Laporta. But I'm still looking at Sam Laporta like a tight end. I'm looking at him as your Travis Kelce. He's your pass receiving tight end. He's your guy who's going to help you move the chains. I still feel like you need another wide receiver, somebody else to help stretch that defense and take it to the sidelines. And that would have been, whether it's Brendan Rice, whether it's another wide receiver, this was a very deep wide receiving class. They added one of those guys, and I just kind of feel like they might have missed out doing that. And maybe they just ran out of picks. Maybe they had a guy, but all the moving around, they just ran out of picks. I'm not sure. But I would have liked to have seen them added at least a wide receiver. All of that being said, looking at the draft haul, looking at what they've brought in, not looking at anything they might have missed out on, who do you think has the most potential and the most upside from the guys that they drafted?
Ooh, yeah, upside. Well, it's got to be Giovanni Manu. I think that you could have the right tackle of the future. You could have Penesu, a monster, on the left side, and Giovanni Manu on the right side protecting the quarterback. That looks very, very enticing with Mahogany there as well. So you have an opportunity in the future to have the offensive line start to get rebuilt. And then with Colby Sorsdahl maybe being a rotational guy, you can add a couple more linemen in future drafts. So, and you could fill that in with free agents as well. So the big question mark is going to be really, is Frank Ragnow going to retire beyond after the 2024 season? Is he going to be around for the Detroit Lions? I think Manu has the biggest upside. He's freakishly athletic, got that dirtbag in him, according to his coach. Very humble, comes from the program. I think Coach Neal coached him up hard based on the way he presented himself. Hard-nosed kind of guy. And I just think that you have an opportunity. You're taking a chance there. So I think Manu has a real strong opportunity to be the highest upside player moving forward. And then Ennis Rakestraw, I think, gives you flexibility as well. Behind him, gives you a chance. Hopefully, if he develops as a physical, slot, you know, the dime package that the Lions can put out there with some of these guys is going to be real interesting to watch. I'm curious to see how the competition early on in terms of who gets playing time. But I love the opportunity that the mix-and-match ability that Aaron Glenn now is going to have with Rakestraw and Arnold, I think, is going to be great. Got to ask you this. With Arnold, I know you love him. Do you think he starts day one?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is your second cornerback. I think there's going to be some growing pains. Let's not, you know, look past that. But yeah, I think he is your second cornerback, and I think he starts day one. I think Rakestraw is a guy who's going to give you snaps. He's going to be a guy who's going to work in. I think he might take a little bit more time to develop. Like I said, I think he's going to be a heat seeker. He's going to be a guy who's going to go out there. He's going to disrupt and try to take dudes' heads off. That's why I'd like to see him maybe tack on another 10 pounds and maybe fill out a little bit more, because he's often injured. He's usually beat up because he's going out there just trying to annihilate dudes. And he has a wiry frame. He's got that. He's a little bit thin. So I think him filling out a little bit, adding some more muscle, kind of helps protect those bones and those joints and make him a little bit stronger. I do want to agree with you, though. I think Manu is the guy who's probably got the most potential, most upside. And the way you see it playing out is the way I see it playing out. I think at some point Decker leaves, or they move on from Decker. And when that happened, got Sewell moving over to left. That was part of the reason for his contract. And I believe the Lions think this is happening within the next year or so. And when that happens, then he's going to slot in as your right side. He's going to be your right tackle if everything works out, if he meets his potential, he meets his upside. And I think it could, in 3 years' time, this could be one of the smartest draft picks that Brad Holmes has ever made. This could be the, you know how we all look at the Amon-Ra St. Brown pick and we're like, oh my God, this guy's a freaking stud. Of course you pay him. Of course you make him the highest paid wide receiver. He's an absolute dog. He's the face of this team. This might be the same thing with Giovanni Manu. So I could see the same thing happening here. It just kind of sets up that way. Like I said, I feel like Brad Holmes was playing for now, but he's also looking in his crystal ball, trying to kind of insulate his team and prepare it for the future. And look, speaking of the future, does it feel like the Lions mortgaged some of that future with this draft? Like we said, they moved around a lot. They gave up a lot of draft capital, and it wasn't just this year. They gave up picks for next year. I mean, it's going to be back-to-back years where you don't have a third-round pick. So is this just something that Lions fans need to get comfortable with? Does it need to be one of those things where, look, it's very similar to that Rams philosophy, F them picks. We're going to move around. We're going to do things. We're going to go get guys, and we're going to make this team better. And we might not have 15 draft picks. We might only have three, but those three guys are going to start, and those three guys are going to be studs, and you just need to be okay with it. Or is it one of those things where Lions fans have the right to have some concerns and possibly even criticize what Brad Holmes is doing?
No, I don't think they mortgage the future. They still have an allotment of their first-round picks. I think that when you look at teams that mortgage the future, you look at multiple picks, trading multiple first-round picks for guys. They take calculated risks, and I don't think that the pick that they lost in some of these deals is going to impact them in a dramatic way. They can still get a third-round pick if they need it, and they have had now history of success targeting guys in later rounds. We'll see now. This draft will also be very interesting to look back on in a couple years to see if Wingo develops, if Mahogany is a guy that ends up being a starter. How many starters do you get from this draft? I think you probably get 50%. You get 3-4 guys out of the six that I think will be successful and have an opportunity in this system. But there, the question mark is going to be is what happens when Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn both leave? What kind of drop-off does that mean? Mm-hmm. You look at it now and you got a good system. What's it going to be if Jared Goff makes $45 million a year for the next 4 years? You can't pay everybody. I think the guy that the people that people maybe think are may have issues getting paid are Aleem McNeil, Jameson Williams, Jack Campbell, Aiden. I think Aiden will set the market as well, but you don't have unlimited funds, so we'll see if the replacements that come in this year or two. It didn't feel like F them picks. It just felt like Brad Holmes is a guy that doesn't care where the allotment is. He can make calls to get value. Now, technically speaking, okay, on the most side of the trades that he's made in the first 3 years, he's been okay on the points on the chart. The Terrion Arnold deal to move up, if you look at it just based on the points that they got versus what they gave up, Dallas technically won the points on the deal. You don't want to make too many of those kind of deals, but I think when you have a need that great and you got a player that universally everybody likes and doesn't have to start, like you said he does, he will be, and that's good competition. But he doesn't have to. If Mosley or if, Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson and the combination of some of the guys that they got take over, then okay. It's not a Jeff Okuda situation where Terrion Arnold has to come in and just lock down everything. You got Carlton Davis for that. You got Mosley. You got others that are going to be competing as well. So to me, I think that Brad Holmes kind of, you feel like he's got a kind of okay grasp on what he's doing. Like he can maneuver the board. He can get what he wants, move up, move down, package. It's tough as a media member because you're basically always on alert. And for us, they were feeding us right when they made the first pick of day three. We were like, we were happy. Like, okay, 100 picks. We can get there early, eat a little bit, joke around. And then all of a sudden the trades start happening. We're like, fuck, he's doing it again. But the trade off of that is that he gets us out of there early in terms of the seventh round and talking and everything. So I was happy all the way around. One last thing with the city, I know that the city of Detroit doesn't compare to Nashville or Los Angeles or anything, but I will say this. It does have, if you're a sports fan, a lot of bars, lots of sports right next to each other. So for me, it serves my needs in regards to, hey, I can get to Woodward and maneuver around. Like for me, I didn't know exactly what roads were going to be closed, but I knew, okay, going down Woodward by Little Caesars, that's where they closed it off. I could turn right, get to MGM Casino. I know my way around so well that I was able to park for free at MGM and then walk to the site. So I know my way around. Does it have a lot of things that are different, like the energy level? No. If they had the District Detroit, it could be. But hopefully people saw that the downtown area near Campus Martius can be boosted up with more bars, restaurants, more festive type stuff. I think people go for sports, a drink here or there, a lot of restaurants. But I thought that the city of in and of itself did better than what people expected. People thought there was going to be a lot of crime or a lot of incidents. Isolated stuff happened, but nothing that was that went viral or too crazy. And I think the city of itself, because 275,000 people were there. Now, yes, it did happen. Here's the funny story I'm going to share. So on all the podcasts I go on and stuff like that, I said, look, I got to go down to Allen Park. I can't be reeking of weed going down to a professional setting, Detroit. Let's not toke up like it's Woodstock. So I park in the casino. It took 20 minutes. It's no problem. Traffic was decent at 4 o'clock around the time of Thursday, day night, the day one of the draft. And I'm like, all right, I don't exactly know where I'm going, but I know, okay, I see a lot of general traffic. I can follow people. So, listen, I want to stereotype. Please don't believe that. But I saw a group of four ethnic individuals. I perceive them to be either Pakistani or Indian. And they looked like they were confident, and they were walking confidently, and they were going towards Detroit. I'm like, okay, I'll follow them. I think they know where they're going. So I walk out of the casino, literally five steps making a right out of the casino. Funniest thing I've ever seen. The girl stops, puts her hands down, and lights up the fattest blunt I have ever seen in my life. I looked right at her. I walked past her because she was trying to navigate lighting it. And then she lit that thing like it was going out of style. And she started giggling. Her friends were like, oh my God. And she lit the fattest blunt and literally dominated the air. And I just started laughing. And the guys were laughing, but they started walking a little bit faster. So I was like, oh my God, 4 seconds into my trip, smelling like weed all over the place. It smelled like weed everywhere. But it was festive. People were just happy getting high. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. But it was funny. She was giggling and just having a good old time walking down there. It was only a 10-minute walk from the MGM to the event. And I got to see a wrestler, got to have a good time. Everybody was festive. And the best part to me is people were talking football. You had a Raider fan talking to a Vikings fan, talking about trades, people just enjoying being downtown, and they were happy. Everybody was smiling, and the way to get in was great. My only critique I would have is that when it was time to leave, there were not enough exits. There was an exit opportunity for me to go out the side, but the cops saw me, and like, you can't go out that way. And it took me back all the way to Jefferson. I was like, oh man. So I did take an Uber back, which was like $6, but it was horrible trying to get out. I had to walk like 3/4 of a mile to try and get back to the casino. So they needed a better exit strategy, like a couple more exits that people can shuttle out of. But the way in which they let people in only a couple spots, you felt safe. You felt like, okay, nothing bad's going to happen if you get downtown. And everybody was walking purposefully, happily. I enjoyed it. I thought the city did well. And look, if you're going to get a couple hundred million in economic revenue, it can only help the city. And people walked away going, holy shit, set the record, television record ratings. People enjoyed it in general. Football fans loved it. The positive praise the city got. And I think, too, the reason why earlier you said that you're surprised, I think people thought it was going to be a flop. People thought, mm-hmm. Oh, it's Detroit. They're going to F up. They're going to fail.
I think everybody was waiting for that shoe to drop. I think Everybody was waiting for them to fall flat on their face, and they never did.
It never did. They handled it, and it made an argument that the draft should be held in Detroit every year because it's a central location. You get Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. There were fans from everywhere in the East that came in to want to have a good time, and it was fun. And look, you know, outside of that, you know, because I've never smoked weed in my life, but it was just fun to joke around that that's not what I wanted to see, and literally within the first 4 seconds, this young lady just lit up the fattest thing I have ever seen in my life. And it was funny. I almost was going to ask her, like, you know, let me hit that. But I was like, nah, you got to go to work. Because she was so excited. It was like, I don't know if it was a special purchase she made or something different. I don't know. But it was a good time. Nothing too chaotic. But I think that the city deserves the run that it got. And for the city of Detroit, we always want the best for it. And, of course, things could be better. But the economics of it. Yeah, I heard $150 T-shirts, and the commercialism of it was pretty crazy, but you didn't have to go spend. The event was free. You didn't have to go indulge, but if you did, you were going to pay out your pocket. So all in all, a great experience for the Lions and the city of Detroit moving forward. And now, next week, because just 7 days away, rookie minicamp next Friday, you'll get a chance to learn about all these players, what the impression is. It's one day we get to see them practice, and we'll go get a chance to talk to some of these guys again and see what they look like out there on practice. So it'll be a fun time over the next couple weeks, as now it's just OTAs. It's just, hey, learning about the guys, learning more about their story, learning about the fit. The schedule comes out, so the football calendar doesn't end. So we'll have more opportunities to break down stuff as we move forward. Because it was great, man. It was a good time. We got through it. Now we can focus a little bit, too, on the Tigers, the Pistons, and their opportunity to find a new president of basketball operations, the Wings, and their retooling. So it's going to be a fun time. Real fast, who are you liking in the NHL and NBA playoffs? I'm liking what I see from Boston and Denver, and you got to like what you see in the NHL from what you just saw. The Rangers kick the ass of the Capitals, and boy, that team looks like a devastating physical roster that can fly up and down the ice, and I like what they got.
Yeah, I like the Rangers, and I like Boston for the NHL, and I like Denver for the NBA. I think these have been some pretty compelling playoff matchups that we've had so far, specifically with the NHL. There's a lot of bad blood right now, a lot of guys not really liking each other one bit and really taking it out on each other every single game. It's also fun. I know the Maple Leafs just eked out a win the other night in overtime, but it's fun watching the Maple Leafs struggle and watching the Maple Leafs kind of implode, especially with that stacked roster that they have with all those millionaires skating up and down the ice with each other. It seems almost like they can't stand each other. So I find it fascinating, and I find it fantastic that Toronto just kind of blows.
Make sure you follow Adam on Twitter at AdamRSTROZ. Follow the network at Detroit Podcast. Thanks for everybody. Thank you all for supporting the podcast. It's been great. Visit us on Twitter at Detroit Podcast. Make sure you visit, check out the content, stay, enjoy Adam and my show every single week. Doc and Jock Thursday, the Michigan podcast, our Doc and Jock Wrestling podcast continues to gain traction each and every episode, breaking down the world of professional wrestling. Thanks, everybody. Anywhere that you find your favorite audio content, just type in Detroit Sports Podcast, and our content will find you. At one time, we were not accepted. Now, accepted in a lot more places. Still working our way with these Red Wings. They don't like us, but we're working our way through the other sports teams and having fun experiences. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it, and check us out, doing more videos, doing more podcasts, as much as possible to enjoy the opportunity that we have to be part of the digital landscape here in Detroit. For the Jock, Adam Strozinski, I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Thank you all for giving us your time. We look forward to coming back next week, turning on the microphones, turning on the lights, pushing the buttons successfully, and broadcasting on our latest episode of Doc and Jock.